Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, threw my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt.
Good morning, everyone. This is James Dick with North Florida Writer Live's Sunday Morning Coming Down Edition. It's the show that we put on every weekend for our Lord and our Savior, a little devotional. And I use that song, a little bit of which you heard from Johnny Cash, Sunday Morning Coming Down, because I think it sets a good tone. Johnny is singing about an older man who probably has lost his way, and he doesn't know which way to go. So he had his beer for breakfast and another for dessert. But we're not going to do that here today, folks. And by the way, my programming has changed. I just want you to know. All of my shows will be 30 minutes or shorter. They will consist of a short lead-in song, one at the end, and narrative in between. Short and sweet. People have indicated that's what they would like to hear, so that's what we're going to do. You know, folks, one of the strongest relationships in the early family was the involvement of family elders with the day-to-day activities of the younger family in living their life. It was also seen in the early church with experience and wisdom that usually comes with long life, playing a key role in church decision-making. The Bible makes it clear that this was the case, and it's also found in one of the most common definitions of the word elder, which we'll cover in just a moment. So what does the wisdom of the elders mean to us today, and with our modern lifestyle, are we missing out on the wisdom of elders? What impact does this have on our understanding of the past and teaching from life's experience? We're going to talk about these things today, folks, and we're going to see how it stacks up in your life as well as mine. First of all, I mentioned I would go over some definitions. So right out of Merriam-Webster, here is the definition of elder. There are four of them, and I think we can combine a couple of things to come up with what's really probably accurate, depending on the situation in your family, because everybody's different. Number one, one living in an earlier period. Well, that could be anybody in the past, and that's true. Number two, one who is older, a senior, an aged person. Well, elders are usually a little bit older. There's no question about that. Some are beyond middle age. Most of them are. But they're still very capable of doing a lot of things in their life. And sadly, I think we miss a lot of that these days. Number three, and this is one that I really like because it's more traditional, one having authority by virtue of age and experience. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. And then the last one has to do with any of various officers of religious groups. Now, in my earlier days, prior to being 50, I was a member of the Presbyterian Church a large part of my life, and I was an ordained elder in that church during that period of time. And that was meant to be because you're getting a little older, you're a little more seasoned, you're a little closer to God, you understand those things, and you're trying to work His will in helping the pastor at communion and other tasks in the church. And let's take a look at a very good piece of scripture to talk about it even some more. This comes from the book of Acts, and it's from chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, and it talks about the Jerusalem Council. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they had declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. Well, the short end to a long story, the Jerusalem Council was basically the leadership arm of the new Christian church. There was a church up in Antioch, and that's where Paul was traveling from because it was further to the north, and of course, it was primarily beginning to minister to those who were not Jewish by birth. They were Gentiles because Paul was tasked with spreading the gospel to all peoples. And of course, the Gentiles are all who were not Jews. But the problem he was running into is, you know, Gentiles in those days did not circumcise. And so many from the old law, the old Jewish law, said that you cannot take your belief seriously unless you were circumcised. And so that was the argument. In the end, Paul's side won out. They decided that since they were dealing with Gentiles, it was really what was in their heart that counted. And that's the difference when Christianity came along. Instead of it just being law, it was about the way you live and the way you do and what you believe, which was really so important because, as we all know, the only way to Jesus Christ is through believing in him. There's no other way to get around it. So I think that little story is very important, and it talks about elders because it said the apostles, of course, they were the ones appointed directly by Jesus Christ. And when he went up to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit back and they were infected with it, their job was to then go out and represent him. They were his representatives on earth, and because of their strong belief always following him, they were under his guidance and his authority. They were able, quite a few occasions, to carry out miracles because of that special relationship being completely in sync with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're all supposed to try to strive for, although it's pretty impossible. So let's talk about this thing about the elders for just a minute. Well, we've gone over the definition, and we've seen how it's used in the Bible. Another way when you can think of elders is when the Ten Commandments, it talks about honor thy father and thy mother. They are your elders. You're supposed to respect your parents. And, of course, in the old days when we were more agrarian, we had much bigger families living together, extended families. More often than not, there was a grandfather or maybe grandfather and grandmother living with you. Sometimes it was their home that the younger generation moved into because they would inherit it when the parents died. But they were looked up to because they were older and they were wiser. And this is something that I think is very important today because we hear the millennials, I see them running around with iPhones, and that's have all the fun you want with that stuff. But, you know, you don't know everything when you're 18 years old, but you sure think you do. I know. I was the same way. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. But the more experience you have in life, and, of course, you take some knocks, you take some hard knocks, but you also have some glories. But the more you experience life like that, much more likely that you're going to gain insight and wisdom and knowledge, which makes you stronger. And, of course, that's what we're supposed to do in our faith as well. You know, when you first find out about Jesus, and you first read about him, and you start thinking about it, you like the story, but you might be kind of skeptical. This really can be. Well, but you have to work at it. And that's what it is. It's a work in progress your entire life. You use the Bible to reinforce what you're thinking, and you use that to help you analyze where it's going. And, of course, there are a lot of other scholarly things that have been written in a lot of books about faith. You know, expose yourself to some of those. They're wonderful. Of course, good sermons are wonderful. Prayer. That's a huge one. You know, you get down on your knees or however you want to do it, and you ask God to open you up. Well, aging is the same way for doing what they're supposed to do. Now, remember, not everyone's going to do these things. Not every old person is wise. Some can be very stupid. Some can be so stubborn that they won't open their own eyes. There are people like that in all generations because we're not all going to do the right things. But for those who spend their life trying to do the right things, to take care of their responsibilities, to raise their family, and to leave their family in a situation where it's very pleasing to them to see, over the course of the things they have to go through, the work they've held, the studies they've been through, maybe they had to go to war, all the things, all these experiences build wisdom, because you understand from experience what can and what won't happen depending on how you act. And if you're smart, you learn from those things, which is exactly the same thing you do with your faith. It grows. It grows over time. The more you expose yourself to it, the more you read passages of the Bible, the stronger you get. And the stronger you get, the wiser you are. And the wiser you are, the more important that you not be thrown away. That's why in the churches, when they have elders or they have deacons or whatever they want to use the word, but it all comes from people that have committed to Christ and they've studied Christ and they try to live their life by Christ and they experience things with Christ from feeling that way, makes them stronger and stronger, which puts them in a place where that's the reason, that should be the reason that they're picked for leadership. But sometimes that isn't the case. Sometimes it's because somebody contributes a lot of money to the church, the prime reason. Or somebody that's just always there. Or somebody that always volunteers. It's supposed to be more than just that. It's supposed to be like a calling. Just like when someone wants to be a minister and they pray on it and they're called to the ministry. And I'll admit there are some ministers that probably are preaching that aren't that way. But I'm talking about the way it should be. Because if you open yourself up and you experience the joy that can come with opening yourself up, it also takes away your fears, because we all have them. We all have our down days. But it's a question of what do you do to pull yourself out of those things. And there's no better way to do that than through Jesus Christ. It's a very calming influence on you, and it can make you realize the errors of your ways and help you decide where you want to go forward. And, of course, if you get on the highway of life to heaven, then that road is going to be the road that he takes. So you're going to try to follow him in every way that you can to get there. And that's wisdom in the end, because basically, folks, this entire life on earth is temporary. And it's also a trial period. You know, God put you here, and he gave you free will, and he gives you opportunities for good and evil. You can follow that Holy Spirit, or you can decide not to and follow Satan instead. But you are going to answer to the consequences. That's one thing about wisdom. And a lot of times with age, people that have made mistakes and have suffered for those mistakes, hopefully they've learned from those mistakes so that they don't want to do it anymore. And that's part of the learning and growing process. And those people who are the elders are ones who have a lot to offer. So I think maybe in our nuclear family we've lost a lot. I think we've applied some of that same thing to churches. I know sometimes you see very, very young people in high positions in the church that you wonder what kind of experience they've had. I notice in some of the churches where they seem to have lost their way in terms of following the Bible, I think it's a problem, because the wisdom of God, in my opinion, is not with them. So that's not a good thing. I don't think they're a good choice. But that's just my view from my vantage point, because I'm a Bible-believing Christian more than I am getting into social justice, because I don't believe there can be any social justice without Jesus Christ at the center of it. And so much of the things I hear about social justice are not that way. So, folks, I just would say, look at your own life and look at your elders in your family and people that you know that are older and seem very kind and seem very at peace with themselves. Learn from them. Pay attention to them. Sometimes it's good to listen to the old stories. You know, I've changed this format of my show, excepting that I'm not changing Sunday Morning Coming Down very much, but I'm trying to get into things about life, things that can be funny and interesting, because I think we need some of that. I think we need to look at life, and we need to look at life going back into our historical background a little bit to really understand from whence we came. Because whether it's our belief in God or just our basic humanity and living life on earth as a human being, regardless of what you believe, if you know what's happened in the past from certain activities and certain things that have been done, then you know to avoid them in the future. And you know, if you can do that, maybe at some point you could even get to the point where we avoid wars. Because it looks like now we're about to go into another one, maybe on many fronts. It's pretty frightening, and we just don't know. So if you put your trust in him, you won't have that problem. It's as simple as that. So think about your grandma. Think about the experience she's had. I know visiting my grandma when I was a little boy, because I was in a nuclear family, although I had one grandmother, was all I had left. And in the summer, I got to spend a lot of time with her. And when she was still alert, up until she was about 85, I mean, she could dance a jig on the porch, and she was lively, but she also said, you got to do what's right. You got to do what's right. If you don't, it's going to bite you. It's going to grab you. And I thought about that in Sunday school a lot. So it helped mold me a little bit. I had my bad days. We all do. But just think about the wisdom of the elders, be they your family, be they senior people you know. They have a lot to offer, and we need to take advantage of it. That's why they're here. That's part of their life's mission. God put them here for a reason, just like you, and he keeps people here for a reason, just like we're still here. And we don't know what that ultimate reason is or the timing, but we do know that our ultimate goal is to be with him. And you got to go through that cross. And I apologize, folks, that the pictures, I don't think they showed up this morning. I'll tell you a little quick story before I close. This has nothing to do with the devotional, but I finally bit the bullet yesterday and hooked up Windows 10. And I've been having some problems with some of my programming. Some of my things this morning, because I think they're still synchronizing things. So the pictures didn't come up, and I don't know if it's a permanent problem or not. But for the foreseeable future, we're going to do 30-minute broadcasts. Will you join me in prayer for just a moment? Dear Lord, thank you for giving us people in this earth who have lived to be older and wiser, and help us to realize the value that they offer to us in our religion and in our day-to-day regular life as well. And let's put their knowledge to work for us. They would love to be of assistance. They love to be asked and involved, be they family members or be they neighbors or whoever they might be. Maybe it's somebody at church. Maybe it's a retired person who is working part-time somewhere because he needs a little bit more money. It could be a lot of things. But help us to realize the value and the wisdom that they offer, and to try to use it to make us better, because we learn from those before us if we just take a chance to do that. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom you've provided. Help us to always keep our hearts open to it, and help us to keep our hearts open to always search for and follow your truth. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross so that we might have the opportunity to live forever, if only we accept his offer and believe. Amen. Okay, folks, that's my devotional. Sunday morning coming down for this weekend. As I said, it would be short and sweet. We'll have short programming all week as I set them up. I put them online, and you'll see about them. Like I said, I don't know about the pictures, but you'll still get the narrative and a little bit of music. Now, we're going to do something really strange this morning to close out, since it's a different show anyway. I decided that, you know, one of the two most important things in your Christian faith to make it stronger, remembering the importance of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And what are the two most important things that we remember about him? Well, we remember his birth and we remember his death. But we celebrate his birth in December and we celebrate his death. Normally it's in April, sometimes in late March. But we don't celebrate him regularly. I mean, we talk about him and his work, but sometimes some beautiful music that gets right down to the nitty-gritty of the basics. Even though it's not that holiday season, it's not a bad idea to play one of those songs. And this is a song that's not really a hymn, but it has a very strong religious context because it talks about the baby Jesus, because you got to think about this. Born as a man, also a God, grew up as a man, but knew what was going to happen to him 33 years from the time he was going to die. Yet he followed through with it no matter what. So we're going to close out with a song about that very thing. It's by a very pretty lady from St. Louis, Missouri. Her name is Becky Kelly, and you'll hear it again at Christmas time because I always play it. But we're going to have Christmas in July right now, and here's Becky Kelly with her beautiful song, Where's the Line to See Jesus? And with this, I'll sign off, folks. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to go in God's house tomorrow and spend some time with him. He's expecting you to come. He wants to see you in communion with others. But anyway, be safe, be happy, and God bless. And with that, I'll say bye now.
Christmas time was approaching. Snow was starting to fall. Shoppers choosing their presents. People filling the mall. Children waiting for Santa with excitement and